present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Amy McDonald in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we are delighted to welcome back once again into the fourth chair, or the ladies' chair, Amy McDonald, who we hope once again will bring out the best in our three unchivalrous but very clever players and regular male contestants in the game. Once again, I want them all to speak, if they can, for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card which is in front of me. And let us begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, will you start for us this week and talk about... Oh, what a lovely subject to start the show with. Putting a bold face on it. He's rubbing his chest. Kenneth, will you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
This really begins with the ancient Britons who did it with the woad all over and emulated, of course, Boadicea and the other well-known great chieftain, Ethel, who did it with henna in her hair. And when it went red, they all said, "Oh, Ethel Red, the unready." Yeah, that's true. She actually got the name. And she rushed into battle with all of it flowing.
Amy McDonald has challenged. Why?
Well, deviation, because he said it was a chieftain called Ethel.
Well, yes.
He was a man.
Well, he was making a little joke, I think, to say how Ethel Red became known by that particular name.
Oh,
well, there might even have been a chieftain called Ethel at that time. I'm not quite sure, Amy. So I tell you what we'll do is his historical knowledge is superior to all of us. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt about Ethel and say that it was a wrong challenge. Therefore, Kenneth has a point. He keeps the subject. There are 34 seconds left and you start now.
Make a stand against the Romans. Put a bold face on it, they said to her. So she met him at the Thames and he said, "Do they all wear these bowlers because your drains are appalling?" And she said, "Yes, because it's an old custom to politely lift your hat when you see a pretty stranger. Is there anything wrong in that?" "Oh, no," he said, and pulled her club off her waist, because she had it swinging there, shoved her one right across the bonks, and they got off. And that's how the whole conquest of Britain under the Romans and latitudinizing of our tongue...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of Romans.
Yes, we did have the Romans, before, I'm afraid.
What was the timing?
The timing was brilliant on Peter's
sounded
part,
like
with only 1.5
minutes.
Seconds to go.
What a... He's up to, can't you?
Yes, and if
he's
you
trying
could...
to get in on it, isn't he?
Yes, like, well, what? If you could do the same, you would be doing it, wouldn't you?
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Yes. Well, anyway, there were about five he saids in that particular round.
He did seem to be flagging a bit.
Yeah. Peter, you got in very well with only 1.5 seconds to go. You have a point for a correct challenge. You have the subject putting a bold face on it starting now.
You must try and smile.
For those who follow the game... We'll know that after 60 seconds, a whistle is blown by Ian Messiter, which tells us that we have no more time for that round, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains the extra point. Peter Jones, you have got it. You have 2 points. Kenneth has one. And Clement Freud, you have yet to speak, so will you start the next round?
Good evening.
The subject, last words, not the first ones. That is the subject, curiously enough. Last words, Clement. I must explain to the listeners that laugh came because Kenneth very delicately kissed his ear before he started. It looked like it anyway. Just to encourage him, Kenneth, last words. Perhaps he was whispering some last words in your ear. Will you talk on it anyway now for 60 seconds, starting now?
When Voltaire, often known as that great French sage, lay on his deathbed, a priest came to him and said, "Is it time now for you to forsake the devil and all his works?" And Voltaire said, "It seems a bit late in life to start making enemies." I've always felt that those are probably the most intelligent last words that were ever used, much more so than those of W.C. Fields, who wrote, "At least I'm not in Philadelphia," which legend now embraces his tombstone. A head waiter I know had written as his epitaph, "God finally caught his eye." Admirably suited, I feel, to the catering industry. I wish somebody would buzz.
It's challenged.
do?
Only because it seemed to be flagging, hasn't it?
Seemed to be flagging? He absolutely admitted that he was flagging and asked for a challenge. And you came to his rescue, so you have 7 seconds on last words, Kenneth, and you start now.
Gladstone's were, "Oh, I could do with one of Bellamy's pork pies."
At the end of that round, Kenneth Williams speaking when the whistle went, gained the extra point, and you'll be delighted to hear...
I'm in the lead.
Yes.
Ah! Oh, it's all happening now. It's coming up to my door and making me some very nice propositions. All happening, isn't it? Coming up.
You have three. You have a lead of one over Peter Jones, and you lead of three over Clement Freud and Amy MacDonald, who've yet to score.
Oh, I
The programme is only about 5 minutes over, so you've got to really keep it up if you're going to sustain that.
Right, yes.
Right, Amy MacDonald, we come to you. Would you now talk on the subject of knickers? I must say that Ian Messiter thinks of the subjects, not me. That's what Ian's thought of. Will you talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
There is indeed a very, very wide range of...
Can I put a challenge right away?
There were two varies.
Yes, but Amy MacDonald doesn't play as often as you, and she'd only been speaking for 2 seconds, so she gets a bonus point because you challenged... There are 56 seconds for knickers now, still with you, Amy, starting now.
I was trying to talk about the range of knickers. We all start off wearing nappies, don't we? And then we graduate to long blue ones, navy blue preferably.
Clement Freud is challenged.
No, that was not repetition, because I said navy blue the second time.
You did say navy blue the second time. Let's hear what Clement's challenge is, Clement.
And you said blue the first time.
And you said blue the first time.
Which sort of makes two blues.
It does make it. And you were getting it. It's just a bit
too blue on that subject. It's knickers, isn't it?
She was being a bit too blue for just a minute.
Yes, but normally you award her an extra point.
I'm at liberty to award an extra point if I feel so inclined. It's a very nice position to be in.
Well, it certainly is, yes.
Yeah. But on this occasion, I'm going to allow Clement Freud to have his repetition of blue because
power corrupts, you know.
And Amy MacDonald corrupts even more. It's delightful. Amy, Clement, you have a correct challenge. You see where my thoughts are.
If you get us mixed up, I'm the one who's got less hair.
Not on your chin, though.
I don't know.
I say, let's get on with the program. I don't wish to know that. Kindly leave the auditorium. Right, Clement Freud, you have 47 seconds on knickers, starting now.
One of the most extraordinary things about English audiences is that you only have to say knickers to them, and they roll about in helpless mirth. This has ever amazed me, because knickers is a very ordinary, stupid, boring word for a garment which, while it may be necessary...
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
Repetition, he said knickers twice.
Ah, but knickers is the subject on the...
Haven't played it very often.
No, of course. Bad luck, Amy. Well, there we are. No, but do remember, Future, you are allowed to repeat the subject on the card.
Yes, of course.
So we will ignore the challenge because you haven't been back with us for quite a time. Clement...
Are you coming again fairly soon, Amy? Do you think?
28 seconds for you, Clement Freud, on knickers, starting now.
Knickers is occasionally used as a pet name for people called Nicholas, and indeed our beloved chairman used to be called Knickers when a small boy. I went to school with him for some extraordinary reason because we lived fairly close.
Kenneth Williams is...
Deviation, what's his going to school with you got to do with Knickers?
He's
going to
talk about my Nicholas.
Well, it's got quite a bit to do with him getting points.
Ah, I see.
He's established that there was
the old school tie network. We haven't got a chance. No.
He clearly, in my mind, established the connection between Nickers and Nicholas Parsons. So he was not deviating.
You admit then, publicly, do you, and on the air, to being called Nickers?
Nicholas.
Nicholas Parsons now, do we?
Nicholas.
Nicholas.
What? When he lost them, he was called Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas.
Because I didn't have any.
I didn't know this. This is another story. I've never heard that you had no knickers.
Clement Freud, you should listen to what the others say in the show, Kenneth. It might help you to get more points. This is what Clement was going on about, yes.
Oh, I beg you, I do withdraw. I withdraw my allegations. I'm so sorry.
They weren't allegations. They were great fun. I disagree with the challenge. Clement has a point. 12 seconds on Nicholas Clement, starting now.
In the early part of this century, one of the commonest crimes was for men to put a piece of looking glass into the sole of their shoe and slide it under ladies who were walking past. And by looking down, they were able...
Such devious ideas kept Clement Freud going until the whistle went. Gain the extra point. I know, but it's still a devious idea, isn't it? It may be true.
The first idea might have been devious. After that, it was repetition.
Oh, don't be so difficult, Clement. You have now gone to the lead alongside Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, will you begin? The subject is making friends. Can you talk to us about that now for 60 seconds, starting now?
What is the meaning, the real thing behind a relationship whereby you can pour it all out, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand...
Amy McDonald's challenge, why?
Well, it's sort of cheating, really, isn't it? I mean, he's drawling out all these words so that it takes...
Yes.
Few
no,
words
listen,
to speak
so,
longer time.
Yes, and he does it every week, you know.
Kenneth!
But Amy doesn't come here very often. I don't care if she comes here often. No, she comes here not at all.
Kenneth! I'll send you back to King's Cross.
Having women
Kenneth,
on the
you
program.
Are not going...
You should never have had women on this program. Never.
Kenneth!
Trouble endlessly, don't they, Clement?
Kenneth!
We never have any women on this side.
No, thank you.
We managed very well indeed.
You are not
here.
Going to lose the subject.
Oh, good.
But
I was going to say to you. You want to give Amy a point?
What? No.
I don't want to give Amy a point.
I was about to say that if you do go any further, any slower than that, I will interpret it as hesitation or even deviation. And I'm just warning you that you are going as slow as you could possibly go. You have 43 seconds to continue at that speed on making friends starting now.
Well, now it's ruined me because I've lost all my flow.
Your flow? I've never seen so much flow. It was flowing. What was your challenge? Clement challenged you.
Deviation.
No, it wasn't devious. He has another point. He was going on making friends. He made a friend with me then. 40 seconds on making friends, Kenneth, starting now.
Stretch out your hand, and a faithful one will take it in return and give what is worth giving, and with a breath of kindness, blow all evil thought away and say, here is my one true love, who came from the nether regions, least expected but most wanted and desired. And I clasped him in my arms and, like a brother, wept and said, this is the greatest moment of all. Henry.
Well, Winston Churchill was then speaking when the whistle went. And so he gained an extra point for Kenneth Williams, who has now increased his lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? From making friends, we have making enemies. Can you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
I find it so incredibly difficult to make enemies that the only way I've managed is to produce them myself. I buy quite a lot of rubber and string and bits of plank, and I create my own enemies. I make their legs and tie them together at the top with straw, and then using asbestos and plaster of Paris, I fashion a body upon which I put a neck followed by a head. Using my thumb and forefinger, I indent the fast...
Amy McDonald's challenge, why?
Deviation? He's not talking about making enemies.
No, they're inanimate enemies. I mean, enemies, you one assumes, do you can't.
They're enemies.
Why?
They're refugees.
They're going to hate me.
Ah, that's only in your fantasy, because an inanimate object is incapable of hate. You've admitted it. I agree with Amy's challenge. Making enemies is now with you, Amy, with 27 seconds to go, starting now.
It is obviously much easier to make enemies than it is to make friends. All you have to do, really, is walk up to somebody and stick your tongue out to say something rude, and immediately you've got one of those... things.
Clever point is challenged.
Isn't it?
Yes. Suck her tongue up and there we... Yes, you look for an enemy and Clement Freud challenged. There are 12 seconds on making enemies now, Clement, starting now.
Go up to almost anyone and say, you foul-mouthed halitosis swine, you dungeon, dirty, grubby, piggy...
Peter's challenge came in just before the whistle. What is
it, Peter? He hesitated. If it had been another few seconds, he wouldn't have been able to say anything.
Peter, well tried. There was only half a second to go, but if you try too hard, I'm afraid all that happens is the person you are competing against gets another point, alas, because it was an incorrect challenge. So at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went. He has increased his position in second place, but Kenneth Williams is still in the lead, and Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Conkers. That is the subject. Will you talk on it now for just a minute, starting now?
The fruit of the horse chestnut. What delightful things they are. Hard, round, and the colour of mahogany.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation, they're not round.
Well, they're not symmetrically round, but they are of a round shape, as opposed to being square. I would never describe a conker as square or rectangular or rhomboid. I would say, if I was trying to keep going in just a minute colloquially, I would say it was round.
You would?
I would.
What's called again? Oh.
So that makes...
If you like,
that makes two of you.
Doubt, Claire,
No, we don't.
I can always put it to the audience, and I can't get the final doubt. No, you don't wish to... All right, Peter, Conkers is still with you, and there are 52 seconds to go, starting now.
They look good enough to eat, but they don't taste very nice, and they don't smell either. You can, however, play a game with them. You pierce a hole through from the bottom to the top, or vice versa, thread some string through, and tie a knot. Then, if you can find an adjacent small boy with the same equipment, you can stand facing each other and dash away at each other's conkers. Several times.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Of course I'm challenging. What's he talking about? Right off, this audience is appalled. I'm going to find adjacent small boys. What's an adjacent small boy?
Have you ever played an adjacent small boy?
If you can find an adjacent small boy...
Well, near the tree.
Have you never played Conkers?
I'm not discussing that.
You can't.
Well, what is
adjacent small boys?
You can't play it with a boy who isn't adjacent.
Absolutely.
Because you can't reach.
Why, if this is a valid game, why can't you play it with someone your own age? Going about looking for adjacent small boys for... I accuse you of deviation.
All right, you've now come out with your challenge. You've accused him of deviation. To my mind, he was not deviating from the subject of Conkers. The small boy that he was going to play with had to be adjacent to him, and that was what, in my mind, he was wishing to establish. And so we continue with you, Peter, and there are 23 seconds left on Conkers, starting now.
And the outside is very prickly, which reminds me of a number of people I know.
Kenneth Williams has challenged one.
Well, the outside of a conker ain't prickly at all. He's just said it's smooth and round. Now he's gone back on it all and said it's prickly.
The outside cover is prickly.
No, actually, Peter, I think I've got to be fair here. The outside cover of the
Why
conker...
start being fair at this point?
You almost deserve a bonus point there, Peter. Conker is, to my mind, the article inside, that rounded article, which is brown, and the covering, the horse chestnut green, is the spiky bit. Therefore, we're not on Conkers. I agree with Kenneth's challenge. You have 17 seconds, Kenneth. Conkers starting now.
The word, of course, has come to mean balmy. They say he's stark raving Conkers. And this now...
Peter Jones has challenged.
No, they say bonkers. They don't say Conkers.
Kenneth Williams is now giving an impression of someone who's start raving bonkers. Peter Jones has a correct challenge and a point, and Conkers is back with you. 10 seconds starting now.
And it is, of course, something that people do.
Peter Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of course.
Rotten thing, you.
I do.
I didn't say of course.
Yes, you did.
You definitely did, I'm afraid. And I have to be fair within the rules of the game. You've said it once, and if he wishes to challenge on it, then I have to award him a point and tell him he has 7 seconds on Conkers, Clement, starting now.
When I was 10 years old, I had a fiver, which meant a conquer, which had conquished, or vanquished, or won.
Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, so he has taken the lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. Roundabouts. Can you talk on that one for 60 seconds, starting now?
I adore them, and when I get on the kind which is scooter-like in their motion, you have to put one hand down to almost propel the entire machine, so to speak, which are in certain children's playgrounds. I adore it, the adrenaline flows.
Amy McDonald is challenged.
He's just said I adore twice.
Yes, I'm afraid you did, Kenneth.
So, Amy. Sharp, straight out the knife box.
So, Amy, your sharp challenge gained you a point on the subject, and there are 44 seconds on roundabouts starting now.
I agree with Kenneth. They're absolutely fantastic. You get on and whiz round until you're absolutely dizzy and you can't go around.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of absolutely.
Yes, but she was giving an impression of being absolutely dizzy, and she was absolutely dizzy as she did it, so...
She gets a point.
What's that?
So she gets a point.
I'll put it to the audience. It's the last round. We have so little time left to play this game. Do you think that I should be generous to Amy because she doesn't play as much as the others? Or do you think I should be fair to Clement and give him the point? If you think Clement should have the point, will you cheer? And if you think Amy, would you boo? And will you all do it together now? Amy, they're booing you. You've got a point from them. Roundabout.
Nicholas, did you go to school with Amy McDonald?
No, I was just...
I've got a point.
You've got a point from
but
the audience.
They booed.
Yes, I said, if they boo, we'll give it to Amy McDonald. I even was generous to Clement, said they can cheer for him for once instead of booing him.
Oh, they were booing for Clement.
No, they were booing for you to have a point.
Oh, I see.
So you have a point, and I wasn't at school with Amy, alas. I'm not quite as young as she is. Amy, you have 35 points. 35, thank you. 35 seconds for roundabouts starting now. Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation.
All right, I must be fair this time. Clement, you have 33 seconds on roundabouts starting now.
I was once told that what I lost on the swings, I would make up on the roundabouts. And having gone without a great deal...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, Peter, yes. You have roundabouts now, and there are 26 seconds left starting now.
I like them when they have horses and bits of tubular brass going up and down and a steam organ. That always makes them much more attractive in my mind. And you can get on a swing, perhaps, which goes right out, centrifugal force, causing it to go almost horizontal, over the heads of the gaping crowds at the fairground.
Amy McDonald is challenged.
Deviation. He stopped talking about roundabouts. He's talking about hobby horses.
But their roundabouts at the fair are
with
all,
swings on, you see.
You see, I mean, if you're at the fair, you always refer to everywhere as a swing or a...
The aeroplane things, the rockets, or the dodgem cars,
they're all roundabouts.
Oh,
you
yes,
see,
definitely.
It was well tried. You're up to the boys' games. There's only 3 seconds to go, and you nearly got in, but not quite. A wrong challenge. Peter, you have another point. Roundabouts, 3 seconds starting now.
When I was a boy, I wanted to collect money on these things.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm afraid this would have to be the last round in this game of Just a Minute. So let me now give you the final score. Amy McDonald was only just in fourth place, 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who was in third place. One time he was our leader, but he wasn't very far behind Clement Freud, who was 1 point behind this week's winner, Peter Jones. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.